and I'm delighted that you are willing to undertake this.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You have a rebuttal here.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am very honored and privileged that you would offer me a second term as chairman. I, of course, accept it gladly because it gives me the opportunity to stay in uniform and to continue serving the nation, serving you, but most importantly, serving the great young men and women who volunteer to serve in their nation's armed forces. The next 2 years will be full of many challenges, but I'm sure with the great national security team that you have working for you, we will meet these challenges and come out the other end with a strengthened armed force ready to discharge any responsibilities and any problems that may come its way, and to ensure that the nation continues to be well defended, and that we are a solid arm of your policy team, and that when called upon, the armed forces will equip themselves as well as they have over the past 20 months. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, Brett wants to ask you a question.
On the recent account of the Gulf War, suggesting that you had, at a minimum, serious misgivings about the use of the force option at one point, and give us your sense of how that happened.
No, I really am not going to start commenting on any accounts or books that are out on this subject. The President knows what advice I gave to him. So does the Secretary. It's a pleasure working within a team that you can give advice on all options. We were all together throughout this entire exercise, and efforts to suggest that there was distance between the President and his other advisors are incorrect.
And let me add something, Brett. We had a lot of meetings, and General Powell leveled with me, and Admiral Jeremiah leveled with us, and Norm Schwarzkopf leveled with us. And to the degree they were not on rushing to commit our young men and women to battle, it's exactly the way they should have been. And I wasn't rushing to commit our young men and women to battle. And he gave me sound advice. He gave me straightforward advice. I never had any concern about where he stood. I expect the Secretary of Defense feels exactly the same way. And I just want to be on the record is saying that he spoke his mind, he did it openly, and then when we had to get together in meetings and figure the next steps, he was a constructive force all the way along the line, and it was Colin Powell, more than anyone else, who I think deserves the credit for the time we had to, after all options in my view were exhausted, draw the line in the sand. It was he that suggested to me, sitting right up here in that office, and so I feel that he did what any general officer should do. He told me the risks. He told me what it was at stake in human life. He told me what his view is to how it would go, which was always very positive, if we had to commit forces. And I am unhappy about revisionistic views of things. Yes, the lady in the red hair top. Yes, ma'am.
Requesting $100 billion in economic help from the West and would like to come to the London Economic Summit. Are either of those possible, and what share would the United States be willing to take in the $100 billion?
Well, as I said yesterday, we're still talking to our allies about this. President Gorbachev has not presented me with this proposal. We will be having Mr. Primakov and another gentleman here, I think it's this week, to discuss this. And or to discuss what Gorbachev told me would be some new ideas on economic reform. But what I want to do, and I expect this is true of President Mitterrand, of, I know it's true of Kohl and certainly of John Major, is to get together, talk about it, and see what we can do to help genuine reform in the Soviet Union. So I'm not prepared to comment on a proposal that has not been brought to my attention. Yeah, then we'll go right ahead.
Closer to a summit in Moscow, is it of Chairman Moise here in Washington?
Well, I defer to our experts, Secretary Cheney standing here, Brent Scowcroft there, and I, and the Secretary of State. And it is my view, I think I said this yesterday, that there is some room for optimism on working out these remaining problems on arms control. And if that's true, there will be a summit. Well, I can't help you on the timing. That was our hope, you remember, to have it in the first half of the year. But it's I have not sat down with our experts to understand what progress they have made. I think they felt progress was made by the Moisheff visit. You want to add anything to that, Dan? Ann?
Mr. President, you said what you want to do is get together with the allies and sit down and talk about economic reform in the Soviet Union. Are you talking about the forum like an economic summit or some other kind of forum to have an allied discussion?
No, I'm talking about a lot of diplomacy between now and the economic summit. Yeah. Yeah, not a big meeting of any sort, although with the Sherpas meeting, I expect this subject will come up, but I'm not for you're asking about me personally, and I don't plan any pre-head of state, pre-summit head of state meeting. Yes?
Just doing this at the economic summit with Gorbachev, what's the downside to that?
Well, we don't want to look that. Well, I don't want to have something come out of the summit that's negative. What I want to have it come out is positive. Yeah.
President Gorbachev said yesterday that it is in the West's interest to put some significant sums of money behind economic reforms in the Soviet Union, billions of dollars. Do you think that the West, and the United States in particular, ought to be willing to put some significant sums of money behind that cause?
Soviet Union is a great power. We deal with them with respect. We have problems with them, but it is in our interest. It is in the national security interest of the United States, and I think in every other interest, to have a reformed Soviet Union, particularly one that's going to prove to be more democratic. And I've never believed that President Gorbachev had given up on reform, and certainly he's not given up on openness, glasnost. So my answer would be, let's look at it. But nobody's talked to me about numbers. Nobody's talked to me about details. As I said, we're receiving a delegation at Gorbachev's request, just as he received our agricultural delegation at my request. So it's mutual, and we will work constructively with our allies. $100 billion is a large piece of change still.
Have you made a decision on the question of more grain
export credits? No
decision. Yeah, Carl. Mr. President, as far as the London summit is concerned, is there some possibility that you might consider some kind of an option where Mr. Gorbachev would come as in an observer status, or perhaps to view in an informal way rather than be a formal participant?
I think all options are open, none closed. But again, what's going to help? What's going to help bring the West closer on terms that are reasonable? I think President Gorbachev knows that we have understandable concerns about creditworthiness, and I think he understands, I hope he understands, that I and I know the other allied leaders want to move forward.
Do you think there's a real possibility still that he might be in London in some way or another?
Well, as I said, Carl, I'm not going to go into it beyond. I tried to answer the question vaguely as possible until we know more about it. You can't pin me down on it.
Mr. President, do you share Secretary of State Baker's frustration with the new Israeli settlements in the occupied territory, and how much of an impediment to a peace process are these settlements?
Well, Secretary Baker reiterated the long-standing policy of the United States government, not just in our administration, but as General Powell and Secretary Cheney know, of previous administrations. And so I didn't see anything particularly new in what he said. I have appealed to the Soviet Union, to Israel, not to move forward with more settlements. They know it's our policy, and I can understand the Secretary's concern and perhaps frustration by this. However, Israel's moving in some ways that I will not discuss with you, and so I have no reason to be totally pessimistic. The settlements has been and will continue to be a difficult problem for us.
Mr. President, it was clear that Gorbachev yesterday was moving to press the West for commitments on aid. Is it your concern at this point that without his reforms actually in place and fully implemented, that it would be premature or a possible waste for the West to commit large sums of credits or invite him to the summit in London?
Norm, I just go back to the answer I've given about three different answers, same question, nicely disguised as a new question. But I think I've answered the question. I honestly believe it. I'm not going to get out there.
Reservations on your part, is that true?
My only reservations are, will it help? Will it be true? Will it encourage reform? I'll tell you, there is something that's positive there, and that is that Yeltsin and Gorbachev appear to be in communication. Gorbachev has reiterated to me, which he didn't have to do, his continuing commitment to reform. And you see these agreements that are worked out between the republics, I think it's called the 9-in-1 agreement. And these are positive things. So I want to look at it positively. But we also have to look at it realistically. And President Gorbachev knows this. This is the final question, the very final one, right over here. That's a slow ball. The answer is yes. Okay, you can get the next one. Thank you for asking it. It's very, very important to us. And not just to, you know, the administration. It is important to the workers in this country. It's important to the environmentalists in this country. A more prosperous Mexico, for example, can do a lot more on border problems, environmental problems, and so and labor wage problems. And so I'm excited about the prospect of being able to negotiate without our hands tied for a Uruguay round continuation, for a satisfactory conclusion of Uruguay round, and for the Mexican FTA. This is the last one now.
Mr. President, given that Secretary Baker portrayed the Israeli new settlements every time he went back there as something of an insult, a thumb in the eye, and given the fact that USAID generally props up Israel, are you willing to now use that lever to pressure Israel?
What I want to do, not pressuring anybody, what I want to do is get people to talk in that part of the world where they haven't talked before. What I want to do is take the credibility that I believe the United States has now in Israel and in the Gulf countries and in the other countries in the Middle East to try to be a catalyst for peace. So we're not talking about pressure. And what Secretary Baker was doing was reiterating a longstanding policy of the United States. Thank you all very much.
Agreements were the main impediment to success on this
trip. I won't want to read his testimony, but as new settlements do not enhance the prospects for peace.